And as we talked, it transpired that Steve was more focused on the shine bit, and I was feeling more stuff about the arise bit. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about arising, and I think Steve's going to talk about shining, unless God's got other plans. So the pictures God gave me, I'll go into them in a bit more detail, but first is about getting up, arising, putting on clothes and walking in those clothes, and about moving through a door. That was the second picture. I actually got the second picture first. It was about people going through a door into everything that God has for them. And we're needing to go through the door. And for me, helping people to see, and myself to see, that that we need to get through the door. So we'll go into that in a few minutes, in a bit more. But the verse that Michelle brought was, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God rises upon you." What does it mean to arise? What we are going to arise to do? Walk, run, follow, serve, watch. And Mike said, yeah, be alert. So it's an encouragement to get up from where we are at the moment. It's a movement upwards, isn't it? Maybe not physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And it's a movement upwards with intention and purpose, isn't it? It's not something that just happens. We decide to do it. Arise. Perhaps that's not a word we use today particularly. We might say get up. Or we might say wake up. They're things we're more likely to say. And it's both of those things as well. Perhaps if we're feeling down in the dumps, or being, we have situations at work, we're being controlled or bullied, or we feel under something, somebody might say to us, rise up, get up, get above it, mightn't they? Don't let this thing beat you. It means to get going. When we get up in the morning, it's in order to start the day's activities, isn't it? To do things, achieve something, got work to do. It's a doing word. And the word arise is a command from Jesus that I hope we're hearing today. Mike said it a couple of times, arise. So I'm praying that in our spirits we'll hear that for us today. What does actually move mean? Get moving. And there are different places in Scripture which encourage us to do that, or say that we've got to be moving. In Acts, it talks about us living and moving and having our being in Jesus. So it's a very active, moving thing. Let us walk by the Spirit. We don't sit by the Spirit, we're moving with him, what he's doing. And keeping in step with the Spirit. I love that picture of dancing, and it ties in with stuff that I've been thinking about, and actually following his lead. Moving with the Spirit. We heard some testimonies last week. Chris, for example, talked about how she stepped out and prayed for somebody for healing. She was moving with the Spirit, being prompted what to do by him. Perhaps we're stuck in a routine and we need to move out of it. Stuck in a rut. Do we need to move out of it? Maybe it's a new season for us. New things to do, new things to move into. And you do actually actively have to move into that. Maybe you're being a bit more spontaneous, like in dancers. There are set dancers that you know what the plan is, what all the steps are, aren't there, if you go dancing sometimes. And then there's the sort of ballroom type dancing where you're following the leader. The man usually leads with those sort of dancers, and he can take you where he wants to. Perhaps that's the sort of image we need in our heads. Rise up. What else does it mean? Leaving the darkness, and Steve will talk a bit more about that, and depths, and coming higher. And that's a verse from Ephesians. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I love this picture here. It ties in with what Mike was saying about the lion, it's a similar sort of picture that somebody had a while ago. It represents a word that somebody had about the church in England being a sleeping giant. And as you can see, it's a picture of this giant sort of stuck in the mud, half buried. And I think that's a useful picture of maybe us individually in the church bogged down with lots of worldly things. And maybe God is calling us to rise out, rise above those things. It's about getting up out of something, choosing to go a bit higher. And just another couple of pictures to help us grasp what I'm talking about. Going upwards, above the clouds. Have you ever been up a mountain above the clouds and you can see them underneath? So there is a place above the fogginess and mistiness and confusion and sometimes darkness that we all feel. And that's an even better one, getting right up there. We have worshipped this morning and taken ourselves up there. He's taken us up there to worship. So it's about choosing to go a bit higher and stepping out of things like selfish ambition, self-pity, negativity, and bitterness, and going above them. And then this is more about what Mike was talking about, waking up. That Romans verse is, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. And then a bit later it says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So wake up. Whoops. And then maybe waking up to being who we are meant to be, rising up to being who we are meant to be. Sometimes you get stories or expressions used in families when perhaps the father dies and the son steps up, rises up to take his place. And that's the image I thought of, being who we're meant to be. Similar story in The Lion King. I don't know if you've seen that, but the Lion King dies and his young son goes running off. He refuses to accept that he is there to rule a kingdom, and he runs away. And it's only at the end of the story that he says, no, I'm meant to be. I am the son of, is it Mustafa? And he goes and rules the kingdom and restores goodness and well-being to the land. So we are sons and heirs of Christ. We've become Christians and we are royalty. Do we know who we are? Are we rising up to be royalty, sons of the King? So that's a question to ask. And the challenge is to rise up to what he's called us to do as well. That's a great commission. Go and make disciples. That's a doing word as well. That's a challenge for us. What might keep us from rising up? Maybe we're too comfortable where we are. We're in that routine. Recently, we had to move house. The landlord sold our house and we didn't really want to move. It was nice there. It was comfortable. And yeah, everything fine. But he was going to sell the house. We had to move. And we were comfortable there. And God has moved us on. It's maybe difficult to move on because it's risky moving on, isn't it? You don't know what's ahead. Like with the house, we didn't know if it was going to be okay, the new house, and if it would be as nice as the old one or was the right place. So, too comfortable. And it feels okay where we are. I was also thinking about getting up. Sometimes we just want to sleep. I was thinking about my son Daniel. Didn't want to get up in the morning for years and years and years. And you'd shout at him and shout at him Daniel, get up, it's nearly time for school, and so on. And he wouldn't, after several shouts, get up. He was too comfortable, he didn't want to move. And sometimes it takes something extreme. One time I took my trumpet up there and gave it a good blast, and that moved him. So, yeah, what does it take us to get up sometimes, to wake up? What will it take us? What will it take to move us? We know what happened over the weekend, and do we have to really rise up in prayer and pray about our world, about what's going on? Sometimes we just feel a lack of energy, but we can ask for everything we need. That might be a reason why we don't rise up. We can ask for what we need. And sometimes a lack of hope. I found a quote from Desmond Tutu. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite the darkness. And then a quote from Graham Cook. If you feel scared, unworthy, inadequate, hopeless, powerless or useless, that is evidence of the enemy around your life. All these things need to be attacked relentlessly. And joy, peace, love, grace, kindness and goodness of God fought for. Okay, so we've got up. We need to get ready to go through that door. We need to put on stuff. You have to put the right clothes on and then walk out in them, don't you, when you get up in the morning. You need to be dressed for purpose. And you don't sit around in your house in those clothes. You usually go out. So part of rising up is getting ready, putting on the clothes that you need. And we have new clothes in Christ. We are a new creation. It says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We're set free for freedom. Identity does not come from learning stuff, but impartation. God's imparted his life into us and made us his new creation. So what are we choosing to wear when we get up? In Revelation, it says, on Jesus' robe and on his thigh, he has the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords on him. Jesus is king and we're his brothers, children of God, and we are royalty, ambassadors of Christ and his kingdom. And it says in Isaiah, he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. They're the clothes that we have already. In salvation, Jesus has removed any shame and guilt that we're carrying around. Zechariah gives us a wonderful picture of Joshua, the high priest. And it says, now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before an angel. The angel said, take off his filthy clothes. And then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin and I will put fine garments on you. And then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. So that's a picture of us having our filthy clothes taken off and fine garments put on us. And that's what we have in Jesus. We're given new clothes. Again in Isaiah, it talks about us having a crown and garments of praise. I think that's a really important idea to grasp today, garments of praise, to put those on today. So again, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Are you wearing the garments that he has given you or filthy old ones this morning? It's sometimes necessary to get rid of stuff. We've found that moving house, lots of clothes chucked out. What are you wearing today? Are you wearing things like negativity and bitterness and, bad stuff that you don't need to be? Are you wearing them? Can you throw them out, drop them, take them off? Says on that, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance marked out for us. So we can get rid of some of that stuff. Let's do that today if you feel that you are still carrying some stuff. We're to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and put on the new self. I mentioned us being about having a new person. We're a new creation. We're created like God in true righteousness and holiness, it says in Ephesians. Clothe yourself. Take those things on. Make it a daily act. Do it today. Make sure you know what you're wearing. And then, of course, put on the full armour of God. We won't go into that just right now. But make sure that you are prepared for everything that's going to happen today. And then I was thinking, what are the clothes for this season? Maybe you've been walking with Jesus and doing stuff, being a certain person. What does he want you to do in this next season coming up? There are specific things, clothes, mantles, that he may want to give you. And God gave me a picture of lots of rails up in heaven. And before we go through this door that I was talking about, to ask for the clothes that he wants to dress us with. We have the prophetic prayer group, as you know, on Mondays. And this Monday, two of us had pictures of being given a ball gown. I know I can't imagine myself in a ball gown, and you probably can't either. But that's what felt. Jesus gave me a blue ball gown, and somebody else purple one. And that maybe denotes something about dancing closely with Jesus and. Just, what does he want to give you for this next season? I love that top picture, the top left-hand corner, the idea of worship and praise and just, being dressed in all his colour. I think I'm pinching there. And finally, before I pass over to Steve, we need to walk through that door. Maybe he's getting us already. Maybe he's got us already. He's trained us, given us stuff. Maybe we're a bit scared of walking through the door, but we do need to go through. And, are you ready to walk through that door today into all that he has for you? Is he saying, come away with me? You need to know who you are before you go through, but you do need to move through. I'm going to hand over to Steve at this point.
Can I just say about the picture that I got? Because I didn't know what you were going to talk about. In fact, I haven't spoken to you this morning.
Nope.
And I just find it amazing.
Just left an indelible image on your mind now. It's really interesting because it's like bog off this morning, isn't it? Like, buy one, get one free. When you do... bog off. You can all bog off this morning.
Yeah, but bog off to me is, get yourself away, get off.
Oh, right, yeah, that's another way of looking at it. Yeah, yeah. We all see things differently, don't we? I didn't know Jill was going to talk about clothing, actually, which does fit in a little bit with what I'm going to say. But I want to focus on the verse 2 and 3 of that passage. I'll read it to you. I never prepped Jez on this one, but it's the second bit. It says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." In my job, I get to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds and status in life. And, you know, it doesn't matter what a person's upbringing, what they do for a living, you know, whether they're doctors, whether they're cleaners, whatever. There comes a point in their lives when they're going to need a plumber. And so I get to go into people's houses and speak to people, and I hear a lot of different opinions on life and on, you name it, politics, religion, immigration, banking, whatever it is. And normally I just kind of smile at people and kind of, especially when they're talking about politics, because I ain't got a clue. But it's like, just ignorance is bliss sometimes. But what I find over the years, very often, the driving emotion behind a lot of people's opinions on things is, or spirit even, is one of fear. People hold these opinions on life, and they're kind of tainted with fear. So that whether they're worried about all those issues I've described, or healthcare, or you know the job situation, or terrorism, whatever it is, they're living in fear, and you can put all those aspects, all those things into one category, which is the future. People are living, they're afraid of the future, they're afraid of the present and the future. And some people are afraid of the past as well. Fear, it's just all encompassing. And I see this, I hear this a lot. And it's so important for us, and it ties in with what Mike's brought as well. It's so important for us that we don't buy into that, that we don't allow that that mindset that's so prevalent in the world to get in here, because eventually it'll get in here as well. And it gets in the church. It's been in my thinking, and God's had to unravel a lot of stuff and turn things literally on their head. That picture you shared, Jill, about the getting above the clouds, it's called the cloud inversion, that. I've known it, I've seen it once or twice when I've been up a mountain. And you're looking down rather than this covering of greyness and darkness. You're rising above it. And it's important that we do that, spiritually speaking. That's the journey God's got for us to go on. It's an ascending life. I've talked about that before. But the Bible says, this is quite a strong verse. It says that the whole of the world is under the control of the evil one. The whole of the world is under the control of the devil. But you're not. I'm not. I like the way the King James puts it. It says that the whole of the world is under the sway of the evil one. It's under the persuasion and the influence. So the devil goes that way, the world goes that way. The devil goes that way, the world goes that way. And we're not called to this. It says don't be double-minded, doesn't it? Don't make up your mind. But we can so easily start going with that flow of the world. It creeps in. And we are called to be radically different. Radically different. Darkness covers the land, and thick darkness is over the people. But it's not over you. It's not over me. Many people are living their lives, their destinies, if you like, they're shaping their destinies according to a series of fearful reactions to what the newspapers are saying, to what Facebook's saying, to what the latest celebrities are saying, to what the men in white coats are saying, whatever. That many people are living in that reaction, and we're called to rise above it and live differently. You can take that scripture, darkness covers the land and thick darkness is over the people. You can take that and you think, yeah, that's how it is. Things aren't getting any better. It's all doom and gloom. The trouble is, when we think that way, when we align with that, what happens is when we identify with it, we contribute to it. That's what happens. And it's important that we don't think that way. We can easily stand in agreement with the world under that sway. And that's not what it's meant to be for you and me. We're called to be light. Light in the darkness. You know, you can... This just come to me, so it's probably a bit odd. But you can take light into darkness, but you can't bring darkness into light. If I Yeah, leave it there. I won't go on. I'll just get off track if I go follow that one. You can say, well, Jesus is going to return. He's going to put the world to rights. He's going to sort things out. Yeah, he is. But he's hanging on because he wants me and you to do something about it. He wants me and you to make a difference. And we can. We're his body on earth. We're his representatives. You are a planting of the Lord. It was up there earlier, wasn't it? For the display of his splendour. That's the call on your life. To display God. To put him on show. A lot of the time, we spend a lot of our time waiting for God to show up. And he's wanting us to show off. To put him on display. I do a bit of running. Just to keep fit. Obviously, not for fun. I used to do it quite a lot years ago. And I used to keep really, really fit. And various reasons I stopped for a few years. But this year I started running again. A couple of times a week. And after work. And obviously recently we put the clocks back, didn't we? They went back, yeah. Yeah. So it gets darker earlier. So I'm thinking, I've got to get some clothing, I've got to get some reflective stuff and some lights. I've seen people with these little flashing lights and stuff. I've got a headlamp, but I thought, I'll go get some lights. So I went into the running shop in Hull, and I said, look, I'm just after some lights. And he asked me this question, really good, insightful. He said, do you want lights to see or to be seen? I thought, that's interesting. And obviously I've got a light to see, but I want lights to be seen. Because I don't want to be run over. And the light of God in your life and our life is the same. It's light to see, and it's light to be seen. He's on display through you and me. God's light illuminates our path and it illuminates us. I'm sure you're familiar with, in the Old Testament, that what they call the priestly blessing, which is in Numbers chapter 6, isn't it? Yeah. Keeping me on my toes there. And this was a blessing. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't, let's pray this and see what happens. This was God saying, this is how I want you to put my name on my people. And it goes something like, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And what that means is, at the cross, Jesus hung there under the weight of our sin, crushed. And we sing that song, don't we? That, and the Father turned his face away for a moment so that he could turn his face towards you. For all eternity. That's what happened at the cross. That's when everything got turned around. You see, to live in the light of God's countenance, that's what we are inheritors of. We inherit light. We don't inherit any dark. Darkness is gone in our lives. See, the cross didn't just change everything for you and me. It changed everything for God as well. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way. But under the old covenant, God made, he gave terms and conditions for how he was going to relate to his people. It was primarily it was through law, but a lot of ceremony as well. He's saying, look, I'm inviting you back to myself, but these are the terms and conditions. So if you like, God was bound by that. God was, by and large, he was, this is how it has to be done. This is how the only way I can relate to you through this covenant. It was always God's intention to operate and relate to me and you outside of that. But in order to do that, he had to fulfill it. And that's what Christ did. What that means is, the Levites, the priests, that they had to adhere to all this really strict kind of ceremony and ritual that you can't touch that, you can't wear that, you can't go here on a certain day, you can't do this. They had to do all that in order to approach God on behalf of the people. God was external. The cross changed all that. The Holy Spirit now dwells in you and me so that I can approach the people on behalf of God. That's what it means to be a priest. This thinking radically changes my approach to life, because it means God is now free, if you like. He's free to extend grace to anyone he wants to, and he lives in you and me. The problem is we're not free to extend that grace. God really challenged me on this a few weeks ago. I shared this before. I won't go say it all, but I ended up praying for a guy who was a Freemason. And this came about through conversation, obviously. And I thought, inside, I took a step back. And God was like, what are you doing? I'm in you. And I want you to release me into this guy's life. I want you to release the grace that I have for him because of what happened on the cross. That's your job, Steve. That's your job, Trish, Hillary, whoever, all of us. And because when we know that that's what God wants to do, it says he makes his appeal through you and me, doesn't it, to the world. When we know that's what he wants to do, in every situation we go into, we're looking to release him rather than preserve him and argue for him and defend his case. He wants to be released because he's free to do that. But each one of us does it differently because we're all unique. You're unique. There's no one else like you on the face of the earth. Never has been and never will be. I like to think of it like this. We've touched on this. Jill's touched on the clothing thing. But Isaiah says that we are robed in garments of righteousness. We're robed in righteousness. We're clothed with Christ. What that means is, it's Bible language for you're a son or a daughter of the King. That's what it means. It means you're holy and blameless in his sight. It's just that kind of language that sometimes gets a bit confusing. So individually, each of us wears a robe of righteousness. But we're also clothed corporately as well. And I think it's Psalm 45 describes a royal wedding. And it says that the bride is brought to the king in robes of many colours. Like Joseph's robe of many colours. Jacob made him this robe because he was his favourite son. Just like the church, he's God's favourite. And he wants her to shine. And he wants her to display all this colour. And colour's something that's been coming out in some of our conversations, and I know some of the prayer meetings as well. Ephesians says that it's the job of the church. I love this verse. I love it when the Bible talks this way, when it says to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. I love that. To reveal the multifaceted nature of the Lord. It's like, it doesn't mean God's two-faced. He's got way more than that. They're all here. All the faces of God are here and here. It just means that we shine for God in a multifaceted way as a body, as a bride. When you pass, if you think of a diamond, a jewel, a diamond or that's been cut and polished, when you pass light through a diamond, it disperses the light into colour, all the colours of the spectrum. Say it like if you do it with a prism or whatever, you maybe done it at school or something. And it disperses it into all the colours of the rainbow. And the rainbow is a symbol of a new beginning. The church is God's testimony to the world of a new beginning. Your life is God's testimony to the people you meet of a new beginning. Which brings me to the point, really, that I want to make. I want you to ask God a question. You don't have to do it now, but some of you maybe have already asked him this question, but it's a bit weird. So, I want you to ask God, what colour are you? What colour am I? If you think of that robe of many colours, that's a corporate robe. So none of us are that robe, but we are part of that robe. What colour am I? And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to influence you and start telling you what different colours mean from the Bible. Partly because I don't know. No, but actually, I did look it up. And actually, colours, there's some obvious ones, like purple's like royalty, that sort of thing. But a lot of the other colours mean different things at different times in the Bible. But I don't want to colour your thinking with that. What I want you to do is ask God personally, individually, and let the Holy Spirit start showing you what colour you represent to the world around you. This is, because he will start to reveal it. You'll start to see it in creation. You'll start in your devotional times, whatever. He'll put it on your heart. Maybe the clothing that you wear, I don't know. I said I wasn't going to influence you, didn't I? I'm going to shut up now. But it's faith building, this, because when God starts to show you what colour you are, what is the primary thing and that you radiate, then you become aware of that, and you also become aware of what you don't radiate, what somebody else does. So it stops you being trying to be like someone else. You're called to shine specifically in a specific way. And I was going to see if I can... Supposed to be a plug down here somewhere, aren't they? No. It's fused. I hope that's not prophetic. I was going to try and switch that cross on. Because what I want us to do is ask God, what colour do I represent when your light passes through me? Ask God that, and he'll begin to show you. Right, last thing. I think colour's really important, because I've had this kind of thinking for quite a while. God's often spoke to me through Genesis 1 and 2. You know, the bit that we often ignore. The bit that was actually how it was always meant to be. and life was, for Adam and Eve, life was about colour and life. And I've got this idea that churches should be garden centres. You know, because where does everybody go on a Sunday? Where do the world go on a Sunday? Garden centres. Why? Because it reminds them of where they come from. It reminds them of where it all began. They surround themselves with colour and light. So churches, the Anglicans have got it right when they have a flower rotor. Or a tree rotor, whatever. Maybe. Yeah, tea rotor, a tree. Tea. We need tree. Anyhow, I'm going to... Moving on. Who knows what this is? It's scary, isn't it, to think that there's a generation of people who are growing up who don't know what that is. There's probably no one here, but yeah, it's 35mm film. And back in the day, when you put these in your camera and take pictures with them, you'd there's 24 on there, so 24 pictures. Back in the day when people had albums, you know, they didn't just have them on the computer, they'd actually look through them. And then... you put that in your camera, then you fire away. But in order to get the colour out of that, in order to get the image out of that, you have to take it into a dark room for development. And it's not what you think it's going to be, don't worry. And I feel that this is prophetic, but I feel that there's people that have been in development in a dark room for a long time, and it's actually time to go through the door into the light, because the development's finished. When you develop negatives into a positive image, you have to put it in developer fluid. You have to do it in a dark room for a start, and then you put it in a developer fluid, then you rinse it, then you put it in a fixer, and then you rinse it, and then you take it out into the light so that everybody can see the colour. And I believe what God is saying to some people is, everything that's happened to you that you perceive as being negative, I will turn it into a positive image in your life. And you won't fully realise that until you step through that door and other people start to see the colour. What does it say? He works all things for good. So I want to create a space, really, for people to actively and prophetically step through that door that Jill's kind of encouraging us to walk through. Because I believe it's not only a door into something, it's a door out of something. It's a door out of the darkness. Because the development's done. Colour, it's ironic, isn't it, that God develops colour in a dark place. But it's in order to bring it out into the light. So I'm going to pray. And if that speaks to you, then please come up at the end and get receive prayer. I think we're going to try and do a prophetic thing with a door, are we? We'll try it. But often it's good when God's speaking to you to do something, as well as it's like when you pray and you fast. You pray, you fast. It's like a double witness to what you really want God to do. And you might believe what I've brought, but sometimes there's a stepping up and a stepping out. Primarily that's in what Jill's brought. That's in stepping through the door of opportunity, whatever it is that God's saying. But this morning, we can all do that. We can all just stand up. We can all step up to the front. And I think we're going to do this door thing, aren't we? And but I'm going to pray first, and then Jill's going to come up. We're going to stand sort of kind of like a door. It's like a tunnel, but not. It's like just a door, and it's just you walking through it. You don't have to say anything. It's a physical prophetic act that is mirroring what God's doing and saying in the spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Lord, thank you that you're always with us. Thank you for your light, God, that shines in us, upon us, around us. And thank you, Lord, that even though we've all known darkness, God, it's your intention now to bring us out into the light for the display of your splendor. And I want to call time on people's darkness. I just want to call an end to darkness, because there's darkness in the world. And God wants you to be light. He wants you and me to shine. Father, thank you that nothing is wasted. Everything that's happened to us, everything that we've perceived as being negative that's come our way, you truly do turn it for good. You do create a positive from a negative. Because you're God. We don't understand it and we don't know how you do it. But this morning we want to walk through that door and experience it. Because we want to be, each of us wants to be, a display, each of us wants to display your splendor. In Jesus' name, Lord, would you be glorified this morning in each one of us? And may we know, Lord, the colour that we carry when your light passes through us. Increase our faith through showing us what you've made us to be and how you've called us to shine to those around us. And may also we know, God, that what we're not meant to be and have peace in that. May we be comfortable in the right sense in our own skin. Amen. Do you want to